Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, December 11th, the year of our Lord, 2022. And this is the third Sunday in the season of Advent. And heartfelt Advent greetings to all of you. I pray that you've been able to take some time this season to pause and to think about the things of our faith, to reflect week over week on themes of hope and peace and joy, as we'll think about this week, and love, all in the name of our good God. So as we join together here, let's do the thing that's our practice around here, to begin with life itself, with the breath of life, and to begin with thanksgiving, to give thanks to God for this very life's breath of ours, to turn your face toward the heavens, giving thanks to God for all that is good, calling to mind the people and the places and the things and the situations for which you are the most grateful, the things that light you up inside. And in this posture, we begin together in worship. We continue on this week with the tradition of candle lighting during Advent. If you'd like to follow along with this liturgy, just go over to the right of where you found today's podcast. Tap on that notes tab and today's bulletin will come up and you can follow along. Let's join together. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The prophet Isaiah tells us about the joy of ascending to God's house. The prophet tells us to imagine being set free, being unburdened, being released to live, to fully live in the grace and wonder of life itself, surrounded by those who love us like no one else. And then he tells us that the journey to get there is just as much a joy. The psalmist says, "Happy are these whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith, who executes justice, gives food, sets prisoners free, opens eyes, lifts up, watches over, upholds. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." We light these candles, the candles of joyous hope, of proclaimed peace, and of deep, everlasting joy as a sign that we are those who walk with a skip in our step because we can see the destination, and it is pure joy. We are ascending to God's promise, and so we light the candles. Thank you. Our gospel reading today comes from Luke's gospel in the first chapter, verses 46 through 55. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word alive and among us. We pray for your inspiration. We pray for your enlightenment. We pray to be informed by your word and your word alone. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we say, Amen. This is the third Sunday of Advent. This is the season of hopeful anticipation. And this is a story of joy-filled, hopeful anticipation. This is the story of the God of the universe that breaks into time and space and history, and he does so through a young girl in a little town. This is a big story that takes place in a little moment. It's beautiful. And if during this season that you have trouble maybe getting filled up with excitement or a sense of the joy and the mystery of the season, maybe today is the day that this season spirit, the spirit of Advent, the spirit of Christmas breaks in and fills you up just a little bit extra. Now, I think it's important for us to actually expand the reading. The lectionary just pops us in here at the end. But let's go all the way back to verse 26. So this is Luke 1, verse 26, and then we'll read through today's reading. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and for his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Just pause there for a minute. Most of us have heard this story a whole bunch of times. Let's seek ways to hear it as if for the first time. Because the story is so profound and so beautiful and so... to a cynical ear, so ridiculous. And yet to the faithful listener, incredible hope, incredible peace, incredible love, incredible joy. This young woman, a girl, a teenage girl in a little town where nothing much happens, Nazareth. And in the whole scheme of human events, of all the stories, of all the stories of conquest and war and adventure and all the great stories ever told, Luke tells us the story of a teenage girl engaged to a man named Joseph, not yet married, a girl that we can imagine is the kind of young woman that does the right thing. Is polite, has paid attention, knows who she is, knows her story, knows her scriptures, so that one day when she's encountered by an angel, at some level, some inherent level, she knows who she's dealing with. The angel counsels her, "Don't be afraid," but I don't really read anything in Mary's response to the angel that reads fear to me. I almost feel as if she's maybe sizing him up. An angel. Yeah, okay, I'll buy that. And she hears the promises. Promises that are so magnificent as she's able to discern them. They come from God. They fulfill the ancient stories she's come to know ever since she was a child. And here she is. And God speaks to her, a nobody. The morning that she woke up, before she talked to the angel, a nobody. a name that we would never remember, a name that would have been lost in history. But she has an encounter with Gabriel, who tells her what God's plan is for her life. And all she has to do is open herself up to it. And she learns that God has done the same on the opposite end of the spectrum, her cousin Elizabeth in her old age, with the assumption that she would never bear children. She's with child as well. God is doing something, and it doesn't make a difference what town you're from. It doesn't make a difference what the experts have said. It doesn't make a difference what the laws and the customs are. God's gonna do what God's gonna do. And God is going to move mightily through these two women. And it's so true and so real and so life-affirming. We have this moment where Mary is just overwhelmed by the reality of it, the goodness of it. And she knows the only person that she can find to corroborate this story is her cousin. Because didn't the angel say, the one who they say was barren is now with child? Well, I got to pack my stuff and I'm going to get going and I'm going to see Elizabeth. Because that will put everything in line. Then I will know with all assurance that God is doing this thing in my life. And so she gets her stuff together, and with great haste, she heads off to see Elizabeth. And no sooner does she get in the house, she kind of has a pleasant exchange with the man of the house, Zechariah, but she is there to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth hears her voice, and the baby, now 6 months along, leaps in her womb. Auntie Mary is there. And it's all so much. And she has this beautiful response, which I believe is divinely inspired poetry. It is how a girl of her humble background would take and just all the scripture and poetry, the beauty of the Psalms and the prophets comes out in this beautiful response to being in the presence of the truth of God that she sees in the face of her cousin Elizabeth, hears in the testimony that the baby in her womb has leaped for joy. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now that bears repeating, friends. If you're having trouble with the Christmas spirit, as we sometimes call it, this can be a super hard season for some of us. Just all the expectations and the nostalgia of it, all of it. But this is it. This is the distillate. This is the high concentration of the Holy Spirit in this season of Advent. So let's say it again. Mary said, say this with me, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Let's say it again. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. One more time. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. How beautiful. Perfect words. A perfect expression to something that, how do you find words? How can you put together the right words to describe your emotions, to describe the reality of what God has done when God has moved the way God has moved in the lives of these two women? But to say that your soul magnifies the Lord, that my life makes God more visible to the world around me. God is enlarged. God is easier to see when God works the way God has worked in my life. My very soul, my eternal life force is a magnifying glass to the goodness of God, and all the world will see it. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked with favor on the lowliness of His servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. I woke up this morning just plain old Mary, the girl from Nazareth. But look what God has done. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm, and He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, according to the promise He made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. I mean, really, I should just stop talking. And I think I will. Spend time with this today, this text, Luke 1. Find it online, find the Bible on your shelf, and just put your mind in this mind. Orient yourself toward this story. So if that takes a little reorientation, if reading and rereading and praying help you turn down the noise of the stuff you've got to get done, or the difficulty of whatever difficult situation you might be in, for a moment, for 15 minutes, for 5 minutes, for an hour, to completely orient your posture, your focus on what God has done and what God is doing and what God is promising, that when we get past the stuff of life, the things we got to do, the challenges that we're facing, when we allow ourselves to become pregnant with the possibilities of what God is doing in the world and seeks to do through us, our souls magnify the Lord, and our spirits will rejoice in God our Savior. And that's such beautiful good news, to which we say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for all that You have done. Thank You for all that You are doing. Thank You for the way that You touched the life of Mary, so that we would know her name, so that we would see You magnified through her, and that we would come to know her as a sister and a prayer partner, one who cares for us. Help us to open our lives to You the way she did. Help us to let You in and to let You have Your way with us, so that in our own way, our lives, our souls would magnify You, O God. We pray for this good world. We pray over all the trouble in the world, O God, that it would be for us as Mary spoke, that You would show strength, that you would scatter the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God, that you would bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly. God, we pray that you will fill the hungry with good things and humble those who need humility. And God, you know the prayer lists that we keep. And we call them prayer lists. We call them the things we're joyful about, the list of things we're worrying over. You know this list. And so we take a moment, oh God, to think through this list and to share it with you and to make quiet space to seek your presence and your counsel. And we break our silence. We thank you for the gift of peace and quiet, O God. We thank you for the gift of our faith. We thank you for the generations that have saved for us our sacred stories and prayers, passed along this prayer that you taught your first students. And we pray, hear us, O God, as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we part company today, I pray that you've been filled up, that in spending time in this sacred story, you can feel it. Your soul magnifies the Lord. God is more visible to you and to those around you as you fill yourself up with this story, this beautiful story of God's miracle-working love. Our God, the God of miracles, who knows you. And we know him in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.